Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hello.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about 3 perfect ways to scrub property owner data. Awesome show. Before we get into it, first, let's take a question posted by one of our members on Land Academy's community, free online community.
Cool. All right. Rod asks, here's the situation. I have 2 parties that own 2 parcels in JT, so joint tenants.
Yeah.
The seller states each party owns 1 parcel, each by mutual agreement. Party A on the deed wants to sell their parcel, and the other party B does not want to sell theirs. How do I buy the 1 parcel from party A that wants to sell? I was thinking party B quit claims to party A. If this will work, how does it affect chain of title? Or is this a pass?
Love it. I mean, I have my opinion. I wonder if yours is the same.
Oh, either. Go ahead.
I think Rod's dead on.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what they need to do. And and if I were him, I would offer to do all the paperwork and get it in the recording and stuff for free. If it's the regular economic situation in this deal that we're used to. Buy it for $500 or something and sell it for $200 or $300 or $400 or $500 or even more. So that's how I would resolve this. I would resolve it first between the two of them because they structured some silly, it looks like a silly deal. Get A what he wants. And then get the property eventually into your name for B. Everybody's happy.
And this is a perfect use of a quit claim. People think a quit claim is a thing that you use in every single scenario, and it's not. A quit claim is when there's a you're cleaning up a little something, or brother is giving it to sister. Or there's really no money changing hands, or just like I'm out, you know, kind of thing. It's perfect for this.
Yeah, I mean, I differ a little bit on that. On the use of a quit claim deed that you knew, and that's fine. You know, we don't do everything exactly the same, but I don't think there's any reason to ever use a quit claim deed.
Right. You don't need to do a quit claim. That's true.
You know, the reason you do, and that's not what this show is about, but the reason you do a quit claim deed, it's traditionally been for this situation where it's interrelated parties. There's nothing stopping you from doing a warranty deed, which means the person is warranting the title of the property, you know, from A to B, let's say. I would do a special warranty deed. I would say, yeah, I warrant the, the title quality of this property for the time that I've owned it.
Right. Which was the same time as you.
Right.
Which is so, really kind of funny.
Quit claim deed for a lot of people is a big red flag. And when I say a lot of people, I mean title agents. So let's say 6 owners down the road, they're doing a title abstract to see if it's all good. And they say, oh, darn, there's a quit claim in here. I don't know.
Yeah. The nice thing is it's like, this one, I mean, we really are the same, Jack. I don't really like them, but it works for this. So, because it's like husband and wife on the deed, now it's just husband on the deed.
Yeah.
So you can see something little happen, not a major name change. That's where I get, if I see a major thing like a quit claim from a corporation to somebody else, now I got a red flag.
Yeah.
So we do see the same
way. Oh, good.
On this and many other topics, Jack.
Oh my gosh, it's peaches and cream with you all the time.
Don't we? We always do. I can't think of a time that we didn't agree.
Jill and I were at a dinner party recently.
Oh no.
And this guy that I just met this guy, and he's like, you know, you're not a supermodel or anything, and it's a good thing you're smart.
Oh, it's hilarious. That was so funny. Oh, it was hilarious. That was really good. It was
perfectly timed, you know?
Yeah. It was a small dinner party, and it was really good. Everybody quickly connected. So it was a little bit like the airport game, but we're going to see each other again.
Right.
So it was okay to say, you could kind of say anything you want. We're all cool with it. And yeah, he very nicely said, good thing you have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
You make everybody laugh. That's good.
It was his way of saying it. And for a lot of reasons, he didn't think I was a supermodel. He was interested in male supermodels for a lot of reasons that I'm not going to get into. And
you're so silly.
I wasn't one of them.
Yeah, you're not one of them.
He was a little disappointed with my looks, but happy with
my personality. By the way, you have a partner already, so we won't go there. So, oh my gosh.
Hey, by the way, an airport game is a game that Jill and I came up with a lot of years ago because we're never going to see any of those people again in an airport. So We just say stuff that we say stuff that some, that's shocking. And,
you know,
and encourage them to say shocking stuff back because, hey, we're never going to see each other again.
Exactly. Yeah. So Jack does intentionally get us to the airport early just to play the airport game. And then it's like having to leave it like our we're boarding. We got to go. It's hard to pull him out of there.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Today's topic, this is the meat of the show, is three perfect ways to scrub data, or specifically scrub property ownership data. So what happens is this. Every county has a fantastic list of owners of every single property that's in its county. Why? Because they need to know and have a huge vested interest in knowing where to send a tax bill every year, two times a year. So there's your universe of data. They're also required by law, as we've said many times on the show, to disclose that data. They can't just say, no, you know, that's not this, that you can't access that as a person in the public. No, you can't. That's illegal. So they have this beautiful data. They not only do they collect ownership data, they collect every single thing about the property. Like Jill said on the show yesterday, whether it's got a pool, what the cash value is, what the assessed value is, what the improvement value is, and on and on and on. It's literally 60, 70, 80 lines, columns of data. Mm-hmm. So, and it,
which, mortgage information.
Which is, this is the, this is imperative to the understanding data and what all these, not all of them, but how to use it to get offers to owners is imperative in your real estate career. It's made us, quite frankly, incredibly successful. So you have this universe of data of every single property owner and all these columns of information. Well, that's great. You can't use all of them, and you have to organize it and then send a specialty, you know, unless you're a bajillionaire and send everybody an offer for $100 for their property, which you never want to do. You can upset everybody. You have to scrub the data. So what are the ways to do this and what are the steps? Start with the universe of data and begin the process of removing the stuff you don't want in there.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with number one. What don't we want in there? Well, certain property types. Right? So we're going to do a vacant land mailer for this example. So number one, we remove every single property in that universe of data that has a structure on it. How do we know? Well, it's got something called improved value. There's land value and improved value. You take all the improved value out. If it's not zero, you take all of that out. Wow. All right. So that's like more than half of the property's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take out the property that has an assessed value. This is number two. That's too high. You do not want to send a person who owns a piece of property that's worth, it's assessed at millions and millions of dollars, a $500 offer. You're going to upset them and you're going to waste the price of a stamp. So you get all the real high dollar value property out of there. Number three. Then you take the uses out. So some property is used as a parking lot. Some property is used as farmland, some properties used as a cemetery. You want to get those uses out, and now you have a fantastic list.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few more little things, like you want to take duplicate records out. If one person owns 45 properties, you really don't need to send them 45 offers. You need to send them one. So that's the path down, and we're not getting into every single detail on this because the show would be 8 hours. And frankly, Joe would is falling asleep already.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Her eyes are rolling back. She was typing some stuff. She's probably writing a grocery list. I don't know.
Totally. That's exactly what's going on over here. See, I need milk. Just kidding.
You start with the universe of data, and then you scrub it down from there to you have what's left. And those are the people that get offers.
Why do I want to do that, Jack?
Well, I already explained it. You were sleeping.
I wasn't sleeping. I don't want to waste my time and I don't want to waste my money. I mean, are we really hitting that point home?
You don't want to waste time. You don't want to waste money. And really, this is important. You don't want to send an offer to somebody who owns an office building for $1,000. You want to make sure that's out of there. That's what scrubbing's all about. Make sure the right people get the right offers for the right amount of money.
Exactly. And like, you don't want to send it to the fire department or the federal government. And you don't want to do any of that accidentally.
Exactly.
So
that's part of the ownership part.
Right.
Get the right owners, get the duplicates, and,
mm-hmm.
you know.
You know, one point that I was just going to say, did you talk about absentee and non-absentee? Because that's important.
For vacant land, that doesn't apply at all.
Thank you.
The one that we used is the example I used was for vacant land, but there's so much fiction out there about real estate investing.
That's my point.
You know, there's different camps in real estate. Jill and I are firmly of the camp that everyone should get an offer that, where it's appropriate. If you're going to focus on back tax property offers, big mistake. If you're going to focus on any type of signal that is perceived as distress,
right? Then absentee
back taxes. The property's fallen down. You know, it's been vacant for a long time. It's in a foreclosure situation. The chances are you're going to fail at this. I can't be more clear about it.
Mm-hmm.
The way that you will succeed is by scrubbing data correctly. And for all the logical candidates, property owners, after that scrub, after this three-way process, they need to get an offer from you that's priced properly, sent professionally, and with respect.
Exactly.
And people who fail at this fail at the things I just mentioned. Or yeah. They've tried the things that I've mentioned, and they wonder why it doesn't work.
You know, it's so funny. Do you think that they just think that there's a better way? I think I have an even more secret, you know, kind of thing.
I've asked myself that a lot, honestly. Okay. All kidding aside, this episode's a little bit more boring than I anticipated.
It's philosophy. I think, you know what? It's so good.
No, so I've asked myself that. Why don't they just listen to us?
Exactly.
I've done it
That's
wrong.
My point.
I've done all this stuff wrong.
Yeah.
For more than 15 years, I've done a lot of stuff wrong. You know, I feel like we really do have this to a point where it's a machine.
It works.
So why don't they listen to us? Well, here's why. I don't think people have 40 hours a week to really sit down and focus and concentrate on it like we do.
Yeah.
I don't think they, which is a very valid reason. I think that people are very used to being snowed over by people. So they think their way's better, no matter what.
Okay.
And that's a valid reason, too.
Okay.
What's not a valid reason, and I think this is the most predominant reason, is it's just easier to buy a list for $25 and send out an offer for $100 on every single property and lick the stamp and put it on my kitchen table,
yes.
Get my kids. Hey, kids,
we're going to handwrite them today.
Sunday's
dress
envelope
those envelopes.
Day.
Yeah, exactly.
Jill and I have sent out more than 1.4 million offers over the years, and we don't own a printer.
Mm-hmm.
You leave that stuff to the pros.
Exactly.
So that's why. I think they're just lazy.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're used to doing it themselves, and no one's can do it better than me.
Exactly. And they're going to save some money. No, you're not. 8 hours of you doing nothing but handwriting letters. How much money did you save?
I had a buddy who bought a house one time a lot of years ago. And he bought the house, and he was going to live in it. It wasn't mm-hmm. a flip or anything. And he went in the kitchen. I went in a couple days later after he bought it, and everything's ripped out. I said, what was wrong with this? He's like, I don't know. These cabinets are new, but, you know, I want to do it myself.
Hmm.
The cabinets need to be my cabinets. I don't really know what's behind those cabinets, how they're fastened to the wall.
This is weird.
I know.
Do I know this person? This
no,
is really
don't.
Weird. Okay.
He's actually no longer living, but... Maybe he stressed himself out. I don't know.
That's sad.
But, you know, there's just people like that. I see him in Facebook a lot. I'm going to do this my way. You know, we're going to talk about mailing in the next show tomorrow, aren't we?
Yeah.
Here's a hint. If you lick a stamp and put it on an envelope, there's about a 80% chance it's going to get where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
If you run it through professional grade software and leave it to like bulk mail printing pros that are all literally hardwired in real time into the post office, into their database, you will succeed.
Exactly.
So doing this yourself, this is not one of those cabinet projects.
No.
You know, let the kids play outside. You don't have to lick any stamps.
Well, imagine like you're flipping a property. Think of the people. If you didn't bring in a contract, say like the guy that you're talking about, maybe he bought this property to flip for himself, to flip it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he was going to do it himself, how much money would he waste by spending a year and a half to put in the cabinets and do this and do that? And you know what I mean?
Do you ever hire somebody or work with somebody and they say, oh yeah, I am great at IT. I can do this, this, and this. And then you hire them and then they spend 3 weeks learning how to do it on your
dime.
Clock.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that.
No.
You want to pick somebody who's got years of experience. They're not learning on your own dime. They've got it all figured out.
Right.
You walk in, you sit down, you do it.
Right. And you don't, and it's whatever level you are, it makes sense to use professional grade equipment and tools and resources.
Right.
Pull us in. Why wouldn't ya?
I mean, all the tools that we provide in our membership for an extremely small amount of money are all the tools we use.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing on there that's like, oh, let's test it with our members.
Right. I've had people tell me that. I don't even tell them that. They're like, yeah, so here's the deal. I thought about it. Do I want to spend 5 years learning this thing, or do I just want to learn from you and jump right in? I'm like, hello. Yes.
Right. Do I want to learn how to use my own website or
build my own website? Yeah.
I mean, I see that website specifically.
It's true.
I think there's a lot of sources of information out there about, oh, you can do it yourself. It's not that hard. That's silly.
Exactly.
You know, there's a few parts of this whole real estate investment scenario that you have to do yourself. Mm-hmm. This is one of them. Scrubbing data. There's a very closely aligned competitor to ourselves who believes that outsourcing the scrubbing of data is part of this. And that's the silliest thing I've ever heard.
Right.
How do you have to control who's going to get an offer? And then it's one of those things. The next one, you're even better at it. The next one, you're better at it. And better at higher percentage yield.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It's scary. It's like giving somebody my money to invest and trusting they're doing it correctly.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
Yep.
I need to know that it's going how I want it and where I want it.
Join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information, that's me.
And inspiration, that's me.
To get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
And even though Jill slept during most of this episode.
Yep.
You're not alone in your real estate ambition.
Thanks.
You're classic, man.
I know. No, you know, I was thinking about, I was going to share this story. That we were talking in between shows about Ellen, you know, the Ellen show and stuff. So anyway, so kid number two is explaining to me this story about his friends that
I love this story.
Oh, this is so
funny. This is hilarious.
Okay. So kid number two knows these guys, like, and it's the next school over. Well, this guy got homecoming king. I'm not going to share the state even. It's probably going to, anyway, it's going to get out. So, anyway, homecoming king, he wins homecoming king, decides to give up his crown to and give it to this other guy who is like special needs or has some condition or something. Anyway, he wanted to give him the homecoming king title, so he did, which is really cool. So Ellen gets wind of this, and she has them out on the show and makes a big deal out of it, how cool it is, and, you know, selfless and nice stuff, and gives them both like $10,000 in scholarships, and it's a really cool, you know, end of the story. You think that's the end of the story. What this backstory is, the guy that was the homecoming king that came up with this is like the drug dealer at the school. And that's what just makes it so funny. Like, oh no, he didn't need the money, by the way.
The backstory.
Right, yeah, the backstory is he's the drug dealer at that school. It's hilarious.
Remember we met that TMZ producer?
Yeah, yeah.
This is a perfect story for them.
Oh gosh. That is kind of funny. Yeah, we just randomly at a bar met this guy, and he works for TMZ, and then all this stuff comes out. That was funny talking to that guy.
It really was.
That was really cool.
We got the inside scoop at how TMZ gets stories and why.
Oh, it's hilarious.
How hard it is to get stories, and they just want to. It's kind of like a tabloid.
Uh-huh.
They want to catch. It's like, what do they call it? Investigative reporting is a beautiful way to say we want to find some people behaving really bad.
Exactly. Well, they can follow us around and get that all the time.
And the more famous they are. More famous they are behaving badly, the better it is for us.
It's funny.
There's something awful about that.
I
but
know.
It's like watching
it's
a
like
car
accident. Yep. Love it.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show.
We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.